he came up the hill to meet him in the dirt patch he was weeding. That was our first look at Aunt Peg's new old man. Uncle Hank was 75. He lived well and then he died, and none of us had nothing against her new old man. She likes fiddling, no doubt. Mike is help on the rural route, and the rest didn't bear thinking about Aunt Peg's new old man. We sat down and we got fed along Grace, but what a spread. The chicken was just an hour dead, and the stew was made of barley. My banjo after a while, but he didn't like the scrub style. Listen up, boy, this here's called Going Down to Raleigh. Old Aunt Peg begun to frail. We got going on the Texas gales, hit my ears like an awful whale. I wish I could hear it again. No, he had no use for the modern stuff. Back was strong, his hands were up, but he rocked her old age. Sure enough, Aunt Peg's new old man. They played dances, made the rounds, Galax, Rocky Mountains. They knew no one to count, it was all in her his and the hand. Andy, you could do worse as a widow than to find a man to spade and hoe and raise a little hell with a longbow and Peg's new old man. Yeah, she likes fiddling, no doubt, liked his help on the rural route, and the rest didn't bear thinking about Aunt Peg's new old man. Yeah, she likes fiddling, no doubt, liked his help on the rural route, and the rest I don't want to think about Aunt Peg's new old man.
Peg's new old man. That's new music from Robbie Foulkes off his latest album, Upland Stories, an album that was nominated for Best Folk Album in the 2017 Grammys. And Robbie is going to be performing at the Acorn Theater this evening. And Robbie, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You are en route to Three Oaks, Michigan right now?
I'm coming up there. Nobody can stop me.
Now, you're going to be performing at what time? I got to remind our listeners, we are in Central Time here, but just a stone's throw away at Three Oaks, it's Eastern Time. So you are at what time Eastern Time?
Showtime?
Yeah.
I think it's 8, probably.
8 o'clock? So that would be 8 o'clock yeah. Eastern, and that would be 7 yeah. o'clock our time. So if you're leaving from work, get there early, because they will not wait for you. There is an opening act, Pete Nye, and I want to find out a little bit about him, if you can share with us. I also want to let you know that I have a guest in studio with us who himself is a longtime Americana singer-songwriter, Cousin Dave Neely.
Say hi, Robbie.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to meet you.
So, good to meet you, sir.
Dave has brought his Git Fiddle with him, and he's been playing some tunes in studio, and he is a fan of your music as well, so I'm going to have Dave sit in with us. Let's talk a little bit about... well, you taught at the Old Town School of Folk Music. You're from down south. You moved to Chicago. Pick it up from there. What got you into coming to Chicago?
Well, a girl did. See, I got this girl pregnant, and she lived over in Chicago. And so I came out here and just stayed here. And then, I got a job at the Old Town School of Folk Music not long after that. And then I joined up with a bluegrass band not long after that called Special Consensus. And so I've kind of been doing music ever since.
The Special Consensus is quite a legendary group here in Chicagoland. Again, folk kind of jazz blues. They kind of whip it all together into something that's wholly unique. How long were you with them?
Not too long, 2.5 years.
And then you stepped out on your own?
I stepped out on my own, and it took a couple of years for me to get some momentum, you know, and get my income where I didn't have to have a part-time straight job. It took about 3 years, but yeah, after that, I wrote songs for Nashville for a little bit, for a couple of years, and my first solo record came out in 96, which is a full 13 years after I moved here. So everything kind of took a little while to fall in place for me, but then since 96, I've just kind of been putting out my own records and doing the same thing I'm doing today.
Now, when you were working as a songwriter, a lot of your songs got picked up by country artists and actually got recorded, as I understand.
I don't think that's true, but
no?
You tell me who did it.
I had heard that some of your stuff got picked up.
Well, I've had some stuff covered for sure, but you know, people in my neck of the woods, such as Sam Bush or Rosie Flores or Old 97s or Molly O'Brien or Andrew Bird. So I've had a fair number of songs covered, but that's due to my putting out my own records, and you know, those people just hear the records and like the tunes. It's not because they were pitched by a publisher.
Okay, let's talk about the songwriting itself. It sounds like that was your root base, writing the songs, and then obviously going out to perform them on your own. Cousin Dave, do you have any specific songwriting questions for Robbie?
No, I just want to say I admire Robbie's style of writing. I'm a new fan, I have to admit. I'm not an old fan, but I'm a convert, and I really love the music that I've heard, and I like your honest approach to the lyrics. I do that myself, I think. Things have to inspire me. It's kind of like I can't just write all the time. Things make me write. Circumstances in life. Women were always great for songs. They were usually sad, and I was getting beat up. But, I mean, it was, you know, they were always inspirational for me. But I really enjoy the style of writing some of the parody sort of things that you do, Robbie. I like I say, I'm a new fan.
Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, I love funny songs. I love songs about women, so I think we're on the same page. I like songs about states a lot. You know, I like sort of, I like knowing where a song is set, you know, so to write a song about people in Mississippi or Montana, you know, wherever it is, I like knowing where it is and kind of referring to the geography.
Well, let's play one right now, and then we'll be back with Robbie. This is actually a song that was up for Best Americana Song of the Year at the Grammys here. This is Alabama at Night. More with Robbie Foulkes on the other side.
Hey, red tailhawk sat watchful at the faded edge of day. The phone poles and the pines rose from the scoured clay. The sun was slipping toward the gulf in its own good time, and you would not think of death if you drove on past the signs. The old men at the roadhouse weren't too polite to stare. Where we'd come from wasn't home, and we were far from even there. The camera around my neck drew suspicious eyes to me. We were not there to talk, we were only there to see. When their faces had said nothing, it was that I stepped outside. And in the instant I knew I would not forget the sight. Alabama at night, Alabama. Up 119, I scanned the road ahead, trying to let all I could see cover up all that I'd read. That hotel would not likely let a working man lie down. Like a current through its walls ran the sorrow and the sound. And I knelt down to let it in me, sure it would come. And I fumbled amongst 100 words, but words don't do it right. Alabama at night, Alabama. thousand others say they might. Through sunlit rooms, the wealthy walk, and the pale unshaven men to stand before each frame, 5 seconds, maybe 10, and to unveil all the maker wanted to portray. But I'm not there to talk, and if I were, I wouldn't say. Across some rough-cut branches in the wide, gray-shadowed sky, a child not far from birth, with the end etched in her eyes. The morning star above her and a hymn upon the breeze, but pours no sacred song, pours a disease. And no hand reaches down from heaven, and no one denies it might. So patiently we wait, here's onward it rolls, Alabama at night, Alabama at night, Alabama at night.
Ooh. Alabama at Night, a Grammy-nominated song from my guest, Robbie Foulkes. And he's performing tonight at the Acorn Theater at 107 Generations Drive, Three Oaks, Michigan, just across the state line there in wine country, as Cousin Dave likes to call it. And good venue to see anyone. And Robbie, have you ever played there before at Acorn?
Yeah, I sure have, and looking forward to getting back.
So it's a unique venue. I mean, it's like almost like a small warehouse with seats in it.
Yeah, it's lovely, and the green room, so to speak, at least the last time I was there, was a fully decked out apartment, and they had a pipe organ or something, and not a pipe organ, right, but a big organ.
Right, it's one of the original theater from the vaudeville days kind of organ. I don't think it works anymore, but boy, it's beautiful.
Well, the day we were there, because the owner sat down on it and blasted out a chord as we were starting a sound check, and he... the fact that nobody had a heart attack was just kind of a coincidence,
Wow. Now, Upland Stories came out late 2016. You were nominated for 2 Grammys with this album. It's your 13th album, by my count, on Bloodshot Records, currently is your new home. What was it like after all these years to get a Grammy nob?
I was kind of shocked, and I was headed into the gym. And it was 7:34 in the morning, and they called and said that I had 2 nominations. And I thought they meant it was that part of the procedure where they get it down from 200 to 80 or something. No, I didn't know that they were talking about just the 5. And, I couldn't believe it. I wanted to tell I wanted to tell total strangers at the gym, but then I settled down after about 20 minutes. And it became just like anything else.
Did you make it to the Grammy Awards itself?
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, I went with my wife and my sons and 2 people from the label, and it was hard to figure out what was going on. It was my first time, obviously, so I didn't know what happened on the red carpet. I didn't know the procedures and stuff. And if I do it again, I'll do it better. But as a spectacle, I thought it was fantastic. The telecast part. With Adele and Beyonce and Bruno Mars, I'm a guy that doesn't know too much about popular music, and I have kind of a cynical opinion of it to some extent. But almost everything I saw was unbelievable singing, great costumes. I was just entertained for 3.5 hours straight, so I didn't expect that. I was blown away.
Now, I noticed that the album was produced by Steve Albini. Was it done here in Chicago?
Yeah, it sure was. He has a studio called Electrical, and we did it over there.
What was it like working with him? Was this your first time with Steve?
No, I've done about half of the things that I've ever done, I've done with him.
Well, I know he's a big fan of analog versus digital, and I think that has a lot to do with the warmth we feel on some of the albums he produces. Are you an analog fan, and did you record analog with him?
I do like analog, and, it's just expensive is what it is. So sometimes I'll go over, I'm going over to Steve's in a couple of days to record something, and we're just doing it on the computer. And that's not what he likes, and, of course, that's not what anybody likes as far as great sound. But, once you pay for a couple reels of tape and spend a little extra editing time that tape sometimes entails, then you're looking at, you know, hundreds, you know, I don't know, like $500 more or something to do a couple songs.
Mm-hmm. The sound on the song we just played, Alabama at Night, that was got the Grammy nod, is a lot different than, say, Aunt Peg's New Old Man that we opened with. It reminds me a little bit of maybe early James Taylor, whereas Aunt Peg's got your bluegrass roots and your southern roots shining proudly. It seems like a different style completely. When you sit down to write an album, do you try to do it cohesively as far as songs that will work together? Do you look at songs as individual pieces?
I don't know. I just kind of feel it out. You know, I would say that by the time a record is two-thirds in place, that I'll look at what's there and try to think what's missing, if you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
And try to go from there. But yeah, I usually don't set out with a whole shape of the thing in mind because I'm not quite that smart or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What's the show going to be like tonight over at the Acorn? Is it full band? Is it you and a guitar? What's the format?
It's a full band of idiots. It's it's a trio, and it's two guys that have played with me a long time, but we've never played together as a trio. So for that reason, I don't quite know what it's going to be like. It's fiddle and resophonic guitar, and then me on the a flat top guitar, and everybody sings well, and all of us know, you know, it's probably unfortunate for them, but everybody knows all my songs, you know, real well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can work without a list or a plan, and it's real fun that way.
So do you take a lot of requests from the crowd if they shout something out?
Well, they shout out good things, you know. but
no,
that doesn't
bird.
Always happen.
Okay. How long is the show? I know Pete Nye is supposed to be opening. I'm not familiar with him at all.
Yeah, I don't know him. So the jury's out on Pete Nye. You know, we'll have to have the audience. Yeah, he's the science guy, I think.
That's Bill Nye.
That's Bill Nye, yeah. Maybe it's Bill's son. Maybe he'll blind us with science. Who knows? Robbie Foulkes, our guest here on Midwest Beat. And Robbie, what's next for you now? I mean, you got the Grammy nod. You're with Bloodshot Records. You're working with a Grammy Award-winning producer, Steve Albini, here in Chicago. What is next on the horizon for you?
I don't see how I can top any of that. I think I'm just going to go to my grave and... I'm going to do another record, I think. I'm gonna keep doing what I've always been doing. The next record I've got out of the gate looks like it's probably going to be a record of duets with Linda Gail Lewis, and I've been a fan of hers for a long time, and only a friend now for about 10 years. But I wrote her some tunes and got some good pickers together, and we're almost done with that record, and I think that'll be out Bloodshot next year.
Okay, now Bloodshot's where you started back in the mid-90s, and of course it's where you're at now. In between, you did a few other labels, one being Geffen Records. What was it like to be with the major labels versus the indie labels? I've heard from artists...
It was horrible.
It's what?
It was horrible.
In what way?
It was very stressful, and you know, you're dealing with weird people that just don't leave you alone, if you know what I mean. So
mm-hmm.
It's like... you know, people at the company, you know, there's more money involved, and so people just don't leave you alone. And you have people calling you, you know, I need to hear this mix right away. Oh, you need to remix this. Oh, you need to go there. Oh, you need to do that. Oh, you need to have a meeting with so-and-so. Oh, you need to write with so-and-so. And it's, you know, I gave it a shot, and I thought it was definitely worth giving a shot, but it wasn't for me, I don't think.
You seem to be at home with Bloodshot. It seems to be your comfort zone.
Well, I just like doing what I like to do, I got to say. So, you know, the freedom is worth a lot to me. And the trade-off sometimes, if you're with a littler label, is that they're not, you know, sometimes the efficiency or the competency isn't as high as if you're with a big company. But if you're with a big company, then, you know, a lot of times they just couldn't give a crap, you know,
mm-hmm.
about you. So yeah, the freedom is the most important thing to me, and with my current situation I have plenty.
Now, you were born in Pennsylvania, but you moved down south. Was the south where the seed of music was planted in you?
You know, in Pennsylvania, they had a lot of bluegrass. There was a show that came on every Saturday morning, for instance. I think it was called Here Comes the Sheriff. They had a guy in a sheriff outfit, and he would bring on bluegrass acts, and not always local ones, but, I mean, Del McCurry lived around there, so okay. He'd be on. But then you'd have Jim and Jesse and all these, you know, national bluegrass acts. And anyway, I'd get up with the cartoons and watch this Here Comes the Sheriff. And bluegrass was really in the air around York, Pennsylvania. And I think it's in the air all over, you know, once you get 50 miles outside of a big city and sometimes even in big cities. So my dad loved it and my parents loved it and they take me to festivals. And so I didn't get to Virginia until I was 8 years old, but I was pretty formed by then. And by then I was totally into it, you know.
Now, do you think the rise of the popularity in bluegrass, what do you think has brought that back? We see the Yvette Brothers, we've seen you know, all these different groups since Oh Brother came out, coming up, and we're seeing a lot more banjos, mandolins, and things like that in pop music. Has that enhanced your presence in the music business? Is it shining a light on what you're doing?
I don't really know, but I've never come out and done a bluegrass record, and I think at some point I'd like to, and then I'll kind of know better. But I think as far as it's always kind of waxing and waning, and it's also as conservative as that kind of music is, it also changes shape a lot, so that, you know, one generation will do, Bill Monroe will do something, and then 20 years later it'll be the Osborne Brothers, and then it'll be the Seldom Scene, and then it'll be Newgrass Revival, and then Alison Krauss. And each of those younger groups sounds so different from the older groups that the older guy will go, "Oh, that sucks. That's not the real thing. You know, that's nothing like what I did."
Right.
And so there's continuity there for sure, but it's different enough. It evolves enough so that people actually get angry about it and disown it. You know, which I think is great.
Wow. Well, you've been doing music now for about 40 years or so, and signed now for several years, 13 albums under your belt. At this point, what is your thoughts on the state of music in America?
Could you ask a broader question? you know, it's like everything else. I mean, it's like books and newspapers and a lot of other information. There's so much of it that it's become dangerously valueless, I think. You know, it's so easy to get with a click. So I think as long as there's some kind of physical product and some idea of scarcity and some idea of quality, then you can maintain a hopeful idea about the future. But the more that it's about, you know, everything that's ever been recorded available with a click, then that's what alarms me. You know, partly for money reasons and copyright reasons, but more because of just, as I say, the thing becoming valueless.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. And then a little bit of the, how that reflects in your own situation if you're doing it for a living is that, all of a sudden you have all these extra jobs, you know, in the modern workplace, you know, I have to do it. If I get a job like this, I have to do not only the newspaper stuff and the radio stuff and the contracts and the driving and the rest of it, the travel arrangements, but then you got to tweet something, Instagram something, buy a Facebook ad, you know, there's all this extra stuff to do,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like it's fracturing to the point where, you know, there's not a lot of help, you know, behind guys like me. We're just kind of out there like free agents. So along with the freedom that I mentioned comes come these extra burdens.
Okay. Now, are you living in Chicago now or in Nashville?
Chicago.
Okay, so you stayed here then. Okay. Still working out of Nashville, though, correct, in some ways?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I worked there for 3 years in the 90s and never did again.
All right. So based in Chicago, working with Steve Albini, a former teacher at Old Town School of Folk Music, what was it that working at Old Town School brought to you as far as a creative artist?
I don't know. It's I talk to other musicians that teach, and I haven't run into any of them that really love it, you know. But it it forces you to think about what you do and explain it to other people. So I think that's of limited use, but it's of use, you know. Anytime you can sort of think about what you do, you know, that's useful.
All right. You you come from a musical family, and so it seems like it's in the genes from what I understand. Are your kids picking up on the music as well?
Yeah, my youngest, he loves to play the piano, and my second youngest, he loves to play the drums, and they're all pretty good singers. And then my grandson, he's turning four pretty soon, and he's just he's got the bug really bad, you know. So
should point him toward bass. It sounds like that's about all you need for the band.
Yeah, I can fire these idiots over here and just go out with my son. That would be there'd be more arguing, but the music would sound a lot better.
The Folks Family Band. There you go. All right,
yeah.
Last question, and that is I'm going to close out this segment with a song that's probably one of my favorites of the albums I've got of yours, and going back to your last album, Gone Away Backward, and that is Sometimes the Grass is Really Greener. It seems to tell the story of a guy, it may or may not be you, it sounds like it could be, that gets signed to the national label, is a little disenfranchised by it, and winds up going back to his roots, which in from the outside looking in seems very much autobiographical. What's the story behind this song?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I started with my story of going to New York and playing, I don't know, something like bluegrass. I wasn't really a bluegrass player like that guy, but and then I had my dad's guitar when I went to New York, so I definitely started with details from my own thing. But you know, a lot of times when you write, you end up referring, you know, as much to music as to life. And in that song, like for some reason, I just kept thinking about John Duffy and those people in that area. You know, like Northern Virginia and Washington D.C. It's a particular stripe of acoustic music or bluegrass music, and I don't know how to define it, but something about that, something about the words in that song, I've seen the sun go down from the streets of New York town. It has a little, like, folky diction and a little like John Duffy to me, so I was thinking of him.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Robbie, for joining us. Good luck tonight at the Acorn Theater.
Hey, thanks for all your help and pushing this stuff. I hope somebody comes, and, you know, I can promise it'll be more entertaining than this interview.
8 p.m. tonight, Three Oaks, Michigan, just a stone's throw from where we're sitting here. It's a different time zone. It is Eastern. We are Central, but don't let that throw you. It's only about 30 minutes from where we're at here in Northwest Indiana. Robbie Folks, Upland Stories is the new album, and we're going to take it back to the previous album, Gone Away Backward. Robbie, any other things you want to say before we play this?
No, I think we covered everything.
All right. We'll keep up with you then at RobbieFolks.com, and that's Robbie with an I-E, not a Y, RobbieFolks.com. Thank you, and safe travels as you get to Three Oaks.
Thanks very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Have a great show, Robbie.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes the grass is greener, Robbie Folks.
In a dusty shack high in the Blue Ridge Mountains, it was tough work, brown dirt, and bluegrass songs. Sweet hickory filled the air. Daddy's love was hard but fair. If I knew how rich I was, I'd not have gone. Oh, but the city called my name, and I came running with my young man's hopes and my daddy's old guitar. I played the dives and paid some dues, singing every tune I knew. And them homesick ones I sang the best by far. Now I've seen the sun go down on the streets of New York town, and I've watched it from the hills of old Virginia. Beauty's what the eye beholds. One man's dirt's another's gold. Oh, but sometimes the grass is really greener. Company man confessed he liked me. Oh, but he'd have to shave a few rough edges down. Cut my hair like Brooks and Dunn's. Trade the banjo for some drums. Cause no one went by that old high lonesome sound. Now I don't know just what this deal's got me. I've gained not a fan and I lost the ones I had. I've worn my heart right through my sleeve, singing a song I don't believe. I believe I'll go back home to Mom and Dad. Now I've seen the sun go down on the streets of New York town, and I've watched it from the hills of old Virginia. Beauty's what the eye beholds. One man's dirt's another's gold. Oh, but sometimes the grass is really greener. Back high in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and when I die, it's on this farm to lay me down. And the hills will hear my song, cause it's there that I belong. Man, you just can't shake old roots from southern ground. Now I've seen the sun go down on the streets of New York town, and I've watched it from the hills of old Virginia. Beauty's what the eye beholds. One man's dirt's another's gold. Oh, but sometimes the grass is really greener.
It's true. Sometimes the grass is really greener. There's a little bit of twang on that song there.
Wonderful.
I like that one, and I think it was interesting to have Robbie Foulkes on. We got to hear some interesting stuff. He's Chicago-based now, born in Pennsylvania, lived down south, came to Chicago, taught here, working with Steve Albini, one of the great legends of production still going here in Chicago, worked with so many different talents over the years. A good friend of mine, Robert Rolf Feddersen, recently produced an album with Steve as well, and I love Robbie Foulkes. You know, and every album's a little bit different. And as we mentioned, every song on every album's a little bit different.
Great production, too. The songs are just wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're great songs, and they sound great.
With me in the studio, we've got Cousin Dave, and Cousin Dave is here along with Shelly Coy. And they're going to play a song in just a few minutes. But first, a segment that I like to do is to kind of look back as a former history major and music lover. I call this, so creatively, Today in Music History. I put a lot of thought into that, by the
That's
way.
That's great. That's creative as heck.
Opening up on a sad note, the gentleman I'm about to talk about was a very good friend of mine. In fact, we did a lot of co-writing together for Elvis International Forum, which was an Elvis-approved through the Estate magazine. And I did a piece on the USS Arizona. About the concert that this guy produced. His name was Al DeVorn. He was a Chicago-based guy. Actually used to work with BJ and Dirty Dragon, if you remember that.
I do.
He was a producer on that. He was a big band leader. And sadly, it was on this day in 2004 that Al DeVorn passed away. He was on a car crash on his way home from an Elvis convention in California. He was age 81. The car flipped over. He passed away. And we were in the midst of negotiating, working on a book together. Al was one of my best friends in the Elvis world. Such an entertaining man. He never got paid for the recordings of his most famous words. And, those words were...
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building. Thank you and good night.
That's right. That's Al DeVorn, and he popularized that phrase, Elvis has left the building. In fact, he used to leave that on my answering machine, saying, Tom has left the building, and he's not returning calls. Aww. So I've got to find one of those old clips to play. But I miss you, Al, and we remember you on this day in history, the day you passed away, 2004. Some other things that happened on this day, another death on this day in 2011, songwriter and producer Jerry Lieber of Lieber and Stoller died at his home in Los Angeles at the age of 78. He had cardiopulmonary failure. Mike Stoller and Jerry Lieber wrote some of the early rock and roll anthems like Hound Dog, Jailhouse Rock, King Creole for Elvis, Yakety Yak, Searchin' for the Coasters, Stand By Me for Benny King, Poison Ivy, also the Coasters, and Kansas City. I mean, on and on and on. Lieber and Stoller are true legends, and we lost Jerry on this day in 2011. On an up note, 1964. I'm predicting the future of music. 1964, the Supremes started Hooey Grun at number one in the U.S. singles chart with a song called Where Did Our Love Go? You might even sing that, don't you, Shelley? Perhaps. No, you don't sing that? It was the girl group's number one charted single, and it was their first ever number one. Holland Dozier Holland had originally composed the song, believe it or not for the Supremes, but for the Marvelettes, who did Please Mr. Postman, who actually turned down the song, Where Did Our Love Go? Supremes got it by default, went to number one. The rest, as they say, is history, and it led to several number ones. So that was in 1964 on this day. And one final footnote of history in 1970. Do you remember the band Bread?
Yes, absolutely.
They were soft rock at its best here in America back in the 70s. Well, 1970, Bread went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with the only song that they would take to number one in their career. Now, this song has been covered over the years by the Supremes, Aretha Franklin, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Dusty Springfield, Mark Cohn, and even Andy Williams, of all people, covered this song. But nobody did it like the original. Number one on this day in history, 1970, it's Bread with Make It With You. Make It With You. Bread. That song was sitting at number one on the Billboard U.S. Singles Chart on this day back in 1970. Raise your hand if you remember that one.
Groovy.
In studio with me, Shelley Coy and Cousin Dave Neely. They are my in-studio guests, guitar in hand. And I think we're going to play another song here. Robbie Foulkes, we had Robbie on. We had Dave Rudolph on, both of them with shows in the area. Of course, you guys have a big show tomorrow. Let's talk again about that. Remind folks where they can see you.
Shelley?
Hi. We will be, the Midnight Stitches Band is playing with other musical acts that day and evening. There are fireworks at the Mill Pond Festival in Union Mills, Indiana. It is Central Time, I was told, so you don't have to worry about a time change.
Okay.
We were surprised. We thought it might be an Eastern time zone. But the Midnight Stitches Band will be playing there. We're playing 3 hours, 1:30 to 4:30.
Holy cow.
Yes, sir. And we're doing a lot of your favorite songs, and hope you come on out and support
the
festival.
It's a long time to play.
It is. But we're up for it.
You know we are.
By golly.
You know we are.
And I want to remind folks to come out to the Town Pub on Wednesdays and join the jam. We have some great players come out, and there's some great food next door when they're open, Max Barbecue. So, you know, it's that barbecue and beer at the Town Pub.
And that's in Lowell.
That's in Lowell.
Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights. And I also want to remind folks that we're at Bike Night. Coming Thursday at Pickups in Chicago Heights. And also we're at Pickups on the 9th of September for their big party. So that's what I'm doing these days. Plus, I wanted to say happy anniversary to my wife.
How many years?
We're coming up on one big year. So
I just
September
said four
3rd.
With mine.
Well, congratulations.
Same
yeah.
to you.
And I love you, Jerry Lou. I know you're listening. So.
All right.
Aww.
Isn't that sweet?
So sweet.
Never too old for love.
No. Nope.
Let's play a song. What do you want to play?
In another life, Tom and Lisa worked at this other job, and I came in to visit them once, and I wrote this song for them,
Tom.
And Hagwish Lisa, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of you know who that is. So this
How
is
can you forget her?
The Night Rock Radio Song, and I'm going to do my best to play this for you right now.
All right. Cousin Dave.
Broken hearts and broken bones, wives who got to keep my homes. Songs have always helped ease my strife. And I've worked hard to get nowhere, and I never really seemed to care. Now I'd like to justify my life. I'd like to hear my music playing on the Night Rock radio. If Tom and Lisa talked about me, in my heart I'd know. My life wouldn't seem so dull. My friends would all think I had soul if they heard me on the Night Rock radio. And I'm old enough to be your dad, and it sort of makes me feel bad. Impure thoughts that Lisa brings to mind. Well, I know I'd never be her choice, but I've settled just to hear her voice. Don't bother me on Sunday 6 to 9. I'd want to hear my music playing on the Night Rock radio. And if Tom and Lisa talked about me, in my heart I'd know. My life wouldn't seem so dull. My friends would all think I had soul. They heard me on the Night Rock radio. And it's envy that I'm feeling yet, for all the rock stars Tom has met and folks he partied with back in the day. 'Cause I heard the great ones in my car while Tom was partying with them at the bar. For I die, hope that I can say I heard my music playing on the Night Rock radio. If Tom and Lisa talked about me, in my heart I know. My life wouldn't seem so dull. My friends would all think I had soul if they heard me on the Night Rock radio. Yes, if they
heard me on the Night Rock Radio. Yes, if they heard me on the Night Rock Radio. I love that. I haven't heard that in a long, long time.
Wow.
Of course, Night Rock was a great show. Hegwisch Lisa, my co-host, my partner on that show. And we had so many musical guests. You know, Scorpions came down. Weird Al came down. All these different guys came down. Gals came down. And Dave Neely was there with the Bedlam Brothers.
We were honored to be on the Night Rock radio show. And it's still one of the highlights of my life. And that's a fact.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, that meant a lot that you wrote it. And you said Lisa got a kick out of that.
Lisa cried. She said, nobody ever wrote a song for me. So I was glad she appreciated
it. She's a good gal.
She's awesome. Yes.
All right. Dave Neely is our guest. Of course, former Bedlam Brothers. Now he's with Midnight Stitches and some kind of Scissors and Goats band.
Sticky Scissors and the South County Cousins band and the CD Jam band. And
let's not forget the goats.
And the yard goats.
The yard goats.
I was a yard goat. That's right.
Wow.
What an experience.
I'm just an old goat.
I'm not going to point any fingers. Being an old goat myself, I won't do that.
Now, again, we've got Miss Coy here.
Indeed.
Who is so graceful.
Ah, you don't know me that well.
Back in the music business. Now, you were talking about this is your first band back, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you're enjoying it.
Absolutely.
How full-time is this going to be?
As full-time as we can make it. You know, some band members still work. Others are retired. Like myself, I'm in a midlife crisis of sorts, so I have time right now. So we will see where this goes. But getting Dave once a week for practice and then the gigs is just more than we could have hoped for. So.
Well, Midnight Stitches is strictly cover right now. But are you working on originals? You mentioned girl and guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I've written a few songs. It's been a while, and I've been I would have brought my guitar and played one today, but I wasn't sure about that. But yes, working on some originals because there's a time and a place when you're ready to put something out there that may last longer than you do.
Okay. Well, we've got, about 5 minutes left? About 5 minutes left, and we're going to get to one more song. Is there anything we haven't talked about that either of you would like to mention? And
politics, and I'm glad we haven't.
And so. Religion.
Yeah. We need
and
more
religion.
Than 5 minutes about that. But, Cheryl, you got any shout-outs to anybody?
Actually, I would like to say thank you to you, Tom.
I just called you Cheryl.
You did. That's okay. Because you knew what song we were going to do next. That's how you knew this.
Oh, okay.
You're psychic. We learned this already about 2064.
That's true.
The news you had. But I want to thank you, Tom Lounges, and Dave Neely, because you both are not only regionally famous and beyond that, but your treasures, your regional treasures.
Why, thank you.
And we are all so blessed to have you in our area, in our lives, and thank you for the opportunities you've given so many.
And one day I'll be a buried treasure.
All of us.
No.
We dedicate this to our better halves,
yes.
Our significant others,
our
because
significant
this
others.
Is a song about musicians by Sheryl Crow and about how tough it is to live with us. So
that's right.
We're going to do this one called Strong Enough.
All right. Let me say a quick thank you, since this song will take us out, to Dave Rudolph. You can catch him Sunday, August 27th, for a beach party, Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso with Paul Brown and his series of shows there. We also want to thank Robbie Folks. Robbie is going to be at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. If you see Robbie tonight, say howdy for all of us. I don't think I'm going to get a chance to go to the show tonight, but I'd sure love to. And it's always a pleasure to have those guys on. And well, without any further ado, because we are just out of ado right now, Cousin Dave.
I'd also like to say thank you to my friends and family and all my loved ones for putting up with me all these years.
You're welcome.
Gotta feel like hell tonight. Tears of rage I cannot fight. Be the last to help me understand. Just be strong enough to be my man. Cause nothing's true and nothing's right. to be alone tonight. Please try and love me if you can, and be strong enough to be my man. You lied to me, and I promise I believe. You lied. Be my man, strong enough, yeah, strong enough, 'cause I'll show you that I just don't care. I'll throw you punches in the air. I'll be broken down.
Live in studio, Shelly Coy, not Cheryl Curley, and cousin Dave Neely doing some tunage there. Again, tomorrow you'll be at Union Mills, Indiana.
Yes.
Showtime?
1:30 p.m. till 4:30 p.m., and there's some spectacular other bands playing that evening, and there are fireworks, so it should be a great time. Get out those white shoes, because it's almost Labor Day.
Oh, you're making a fashion statement there. Is that still trendy? Is that still current?
I heard it wasn't, but I'm old school.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Online, you can find you guys at Facebook.
That's right, Midnight Stitches Band.
Or David Neely.
Or
not Cousin Dave, like I want. Not complaining. Facebook.
Not complaining.
All right. Well, we've got less than a minute left. I just want to say thank you once again for coming
thank
down.
Thank you.
We're both honored to be here.
Absolutely.
And thank you. You're one of my heroes, and you've been doing this, supporting local music in the area for a long time, and all of us in the area appreciate it.
Well, we need to have you come back.
Oh,
and Shelly, next time you need to bring your guitar, and mm-hmm. we'll plan on doing a couple of your originals as well.
Absolutely. Look forward to that. Thank you for the invite. I won't forget.
Don't forget, you can keep up with everything we're doing at MidwestBeat.com as far as the website. And also, go to LakeshorePublicRadio.org to listen to playbacks of all of the shows, including today's show with Cousin Dave and with Shelly and with all our other guests. So thank you again for tuning in, and please support public radio.
Love public radio.
We support you.
Amen.
Amen.